Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Joe McGranahan.
Hey, thank you, and welcome back on board On the Mark. We're delighted to have you with us again this morning. Brought to you, as always, by the Sunbury Motor Company. Selling more cars, satisfying more customers since 1915. Oh, waiting for the music to stop. Thank you. Our telephone number, it's an open phones day, by the way, is 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-9565. It never called before. Give it a shot today. We'd love to hear from all of you. 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. And we have a couple leftover texts from yesterday, which we will get to this morning. And as I said, On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, selling more cars, satisfying more customers since 1915. And what with that comes the need for many great behind-the-scenes employees. While they have many awesome technicians ready to serve you, they need more due to the tremendous business that they've earned over their 107 years in the dealership business. They're looking for entry-level and experienced technicians to work in their quick lane, their car and light truck service, their heavy truck service, body and frame alignment and towing departments. Whether you're an experienced technician, an entry-level technician looking for your first job, or someone looking for a career change, they would love to hear from you. Stop by in person, apply online at sunburymotors.com, or call Todd at 286-7746. That's 286-7746. And we do have some leftover, an email from yesterday and a couple of texts. One of them refers to Eric's call yesterday. It says, Eric, you are 100% wrong about Trump and NATO. And then one directed at EB. It says, EB, what say you about Biden groping and sexually assaulting Tara Reid? Well, EB doesn't talk about that. But she does have an email that she sent us this morning that says, things that bother Republicans greatly. John Fetterman's wardrobe. Things that don't bother Republicans at all. Donald Trump trying to overturn a free and fair election. Their leading presidential candidate facing more than 70 felony charges. A Republican congresswoman fondling her date in a theater full of children and families. Mass shootings, the attack on the Capitol on January 6th. And to prove I'm right, I guarantee that after my email is read, the whataboutism of your callers will resume and the topic will immediately be changed to something that allows for bashing Democrats. I find it ironic, EB, that you don't notice the fact that all you do is bash Republicans. And then you complain because Republicans bash Democrats. Seems like fair play to me. Stanley, you have something on your mind this morning?
Well, we'll start with EB's 100% wrong, and then we'll carry on from there. Did you hear that they actually found the lost stealth plane, the F-35?
Yes, I did hear that.
I don't know if you've ever seen the Babylon Bee.
No, I don't read that. I know it's a satirical publication.
Yes. Right. They had one on yesterday that they showed a group of soldiers out there walking through the woods with their key fob looking for their lost plane. Like walking in the parking lot, you know, how you do every now and then. You push the red button to make it to...
Well, I heard one congressman was quoted on the news this morning saying, how in the hell do you lose an F-35?
Well, they are stealthy.
Well, yeah, that's true. They are. So
they are stealthy, so that may be how. No, I heard it, the transponder did, wasn't working. And I don't know. I'm assuming, this is an assumption, since they are a stealth plane, they don't normally have a transponder turned on. But I would think as soon as you hit the eject button, that would probably... should trigger the transponder, I would think, but that's just me. I don't know. So that would make sense to me.
Okay, well, okay. Maybe, except if the plane was going down in enemy territory, you wouldn't want the enemy being able to determine exactly where it went down, would you?
Well, that's true too. So, you know, I don't know, but you know, but I did see or hear somebody mention that the transponder wasn't working, but you know, they may not have one. No. That may be the case. And as far as being on radar, they're stealthy, so they wouldn't necessarily make a radar signature neither to be tracked. But they were flying in as a pair, and the other pilot landed his. Now, we haven't gotten a full story that I know of. Was the guy that ejected, was he having problems before the other guy landed or after he landed? Because I would think as if they're flying a pair, they would come down pretty close together.
Well, I can't answer that question for you.
I know. I'm just throwing that out there. But they have found it, which is a good thing, because, you know, you don't want, you know, anything like that in enemy hand, which, well, the way things are these days, the Chi-Coms probably already have the whole schematic on it.
But, as far as I know, we're not at war with South Carolina, so.
Yeah, right. So I have a question for you, Joe. I don't know if you have the answer or not. You mentioned about the football player. Was it from 2 weeks ago that went down on the sidelines?
Right.
Was he from Sealands Grove or was it
No,
Jersey Shore.
Jersey Shore. It was in the Sealands Grove game.
All right. Now, what I did hear, I didn't know if you had heard. I don't know if it's true, so maybe you know. The kid died.
Well, yeah, that's been all over the news. Yes, it has.
Okay, I don't watch the local news because I'm never home when it's on, and I don't read this daily item. So I had seen nothing in the Bloom paper about it, which is normally what I read.
Oh, okay.
So
well,
that's why I was asking.
It's been covered extensively down here and in the Williamsport area, but probably not in Bloomsburg, I guess.
Yeah, I hadn't seen anything about it. You would think he would show something because that's a pretty big deal, in my opinion. You know, when a high school student goes down and dies, you know, at a sporting event. Even when he wasn't on the field playing, correct? He went down on the sideline?
Well, he had been in the game and was going back into the game when he collapsed.
Okay, all right.
And the story I saw said the Geisinger physician said it was a traumatic brain injury. So now they don't know whether it occurred during the game or whether it occurred prior to the game or what. So they're conducting an investigation to determine what actually happened to the young man.
Okay, well, none of it's good from what I can hear. So I was just curious because I hadn't heard anything. So, all right, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You have a great day.
You too. Take care, Stan. Eric, you're on the mark this morning from Port Treverton. You called early today, so you get some more time. Sorry we had to cut you off yesterday.
That's okay, Joe. I had dad up to a doctor appointment again yesterday. We're still thankful for great health care we have, especially for our seniors here in the Valley. Yes, tragic about the Max fellow football player. I've been involved with Sealands Grove football for quite some time. I was a youth coach and so forth back when my boys played. And I was looking at my grandson's helmet yesterday or the day before, right before he went and played. He played for the little guys here in Sealands Grove. And it's amazing, I looked at that helmet, the advances that have been put in place and equipment we have for all our players, especially our little guys. I mean, now in the game on Saturday, our Sunday, our quarterback went down and apparently banged his head. And immediately he was pulled out of the game, put on the sidelines, and there was no chance of him going back in the game. So I guess my point is it's a tragedy what happened to that Jersey Shore player. And have it happen on our home field makes it much more centric to us here in Sealands Grove or anyone who has a son or daughter playing football. But I can tell you that from the time I played back in the 70s to the time my boys played in the 2000s, the technology has improved to protect these kids, but also the awareness of brain injury, concussions, that type of thing. Is out there. And anyone who follows the NFL certainly knows that is also occurring in the NFL as well. I know there's a lot of nervous parents who have sons or daughters playing football, and rightly so. When I was working for the Commonwealth, I was on an initiative looking at concussions as part of the Pennsylvania Medicaid program. And I know we've had several initiatives and also educational programs to sports athletic directors, coaches, and so forth, highlighting the need to pay close attention to concussions, which leads then to traumatic brain injury or TBI. And we've come a long way, but I think we have a long way to go. My heart goes out to the Jersey Shore team. My heart goes out to that family. Being a football family, I certainly can empathize. My boys got injured different times. It was never a headshot. It was different other things. My son Alex, who played rugby for Susquehanna, would had to go to the stitches a couple of times, but never a true concussion. But very tragic. And hopefully, I imagine they're doing investigations. Does that mean autopsy? I don't know. Probably. Maybe we'll learn something and can take some learning away from that. But just a highlight, and I'll be with Stan. I'm agreeing with Stan today. Yeah, very, very sad situation there.
No argument. It is a sad situation, and I think what the community up in Jersey Shore did to come together, and all the school districts around here who have cooperated with them, Sealands Grove and Shikellamy agreed to move their game to Friday night, or Saturday rather, this week, so that the teams could have an extra day of practice, and Mifflinburg agreed to move their game with Jersey Shore to Saturday, so that since both the teams, both Shikellamy and Jersey Shore played last night, that would give them an extra day of preparation. So that's just part of it. And Sealands Grove could have said, I guess, you know, either play or forfeit the game, but everybody agreed, no, that's not the right thing to do. The right thing to do is to call it a tie and, you know, worry about Max and hopefully making sure that he got all the treatment he needed. Unfortunately, it wasn't possible to save him. Very sad.
Yeah, and it occurred at the couple seconds left in the game. He was actually, I understand, I wasn't at the game. He was actually walking off when he went down. So did something happen earlier in the game? Whatever. But my message, I guess, is out to all the athletes out there. If something happens to you, don't keep it to yourself. You know, tell your coaches, especially if it involves, you know, anything dealing with your head. You have a headache or anything. You know, let's take a learning experience. Let's make something good come out of this, what Max and the family's going through. To say, let's try to make high school sports that much safer. And you say, oh, my kid plays soccer. Well, I'll tell you what, there is tremendous amount of head injuries because of kids heading the ball in soccer as well, boys and girls. And that's something I think we also need to look at, too. But if we could take something positive from this and learn from it and then, you know, make it safer for all the youngsters out there playing any sports. I mean, you can have brain injuries or anything. I mean, it really, any well, perhaps not golf unless you get hit by a golf ball, but I mean, pretty much any of the contact and collision sports.
Well, no argument. I mean, the question I would have, and I don't know the answer to it, is I know there is a concussion protocol for professionals. I assume there's an even more stringent one for high school athletes, I would think.
So, I don't know that it's per se, but I think it's based upon what each of the school districts does do. But I know that there's still studies being looked into this by the Commonwealth and by a special group looking at. A former nurse I worked with, whose son actually was head coach down at Cumberland Valley, who were looking into this years ago. And I think there's recommendations that come out. And it behooves our administrators then to follow those recommendations. And if you're a parent, say something. If you're concerned about your son or daughter, you know, you have the right. They're under 18. You have the right. My son or daughter will not play. And no game, no matter how important, whether it's for a championship or anything else, is worth risking the long-term health or even the short-term health of any of these athletes who, hey, when we're kids, we think we're invincible, right? We do things, we do make us older people do stupid things that we're paying for with things like hip and knee replacements. But let's try to take something good from this tragedy.
Well, it would be nice if we could. I mean, I think the good that's come out of it so far is that the community is all pulled together, all these school districts working together to try and support Jersey Shore, support their players. The outpouring last night, I realized they blew Shikellamy out of the stadium last night. I think it was 54-0 at the half. You know, and then it wound up being, I think, 62-12 or something like that. And I don't think that was a deliberate attempt on their part to, you know, embarrass a good Shikellamy team. I think their whole thing was to support, show the team that the community supports them and show the community the team supports them. And I thought what they did in taking Max's jersey to the center of the field for the coin toss was very moving. And both teams kneeling in a moment of silence before the game. They each took a delay of game penalty for that. So, you know, I think it just shows that when something tragedy does happen, people can come together. It's sad that that's what it takes in this country to bring people together, but, you know, I guess something's better than nothing. As you say, if we get something good out of it, then we've gotten something good out of it. Thank you, Eric.
Okay, thank you, Joe.
Have a good one. Bye. 570-743-9565. That's our hotline number. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Text us at 70236. The hotlines are open.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Back on the mark, 570-743-9565. The hotlines are open. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. On the Mark brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, selling more cars, satisfying more customers since 1915. One of our emailers, Doug, says, in response to EB's email this morning, things the left refuses to look into or admit. Biden is totally inept and corrupt. You know Trump will expose the corruption on our government if elected again. January 6th was a setup, and there are hours of video that exposes the truth of that day, but the left refuses to watch it. The 2020 election was anything but a free and fair election. COVID was used as a weapon to hurt Trump in the election. The clot shot is not totally safe and is ineffective. There are only two genders, and a man cannot have a baby. The media is broken, and our government wants total control over us. Wow. If you're right, EB, we are in trouble. Okay. Sunday, Donald Trump gave an interview on Meet the Press, and I thought it was very fascinating. CNN ran a story about it, and they had Adam Schiff on talking about what he came to view as Trump's problem as the result of that. So if you'll take a moment, I thought I could play that for you from CNN.
Speaking out today on his efforts to subvert the results of the 2020 election, claiming the idea was all his.
You called some of your outside lawyers. You said they had crazy theories. Why were you listening to them? Were you listening to them because they were telling you what you wanted to hear?
You know who I listened to myself? I saw what happened. I watched that election, and I thought the election was over at 10 o'clock in the evening.
Were you calling the shots, though, Mr. President, ultimately?
As to whether or not I believed it was rigged, oh, sure. It was my decision.
It was my decision, he says. Let's discuss more now with Democratic Congressman of California, Adam Schiff. He's a former member of the January 6th Select Committee, and he currently serves on the House Judiciary Committee. I hope I have all that right. Congressman Schiff, great to see you as always. We appreciate it. First, your reaction to what you heard the former president say just a little while ago on Meet the Press. It was his decision to try to overturn the 2020 election results. It sounds like he's taking full ownership here.
It sounds like he is. I think this is probably... music to the ears of the special prosecutor, watching these interviews, compiling further evidence to present against the president. It's probably also good news for the prosecutors in Georgia. Here he is taking responsibility, saying it was his decision, essentially, that he was ignoring the lawyers who were saying, the respected lawyers who were saying things that he didn't want to hear, and going with the crazies because it affirmed what he wanted to believe.
And his taking responsibility for his actions, I guess it stops there with that previous comment. Let's listen to what he had to say about how he responded to what took place on January 6th.
I want to know who you called.
By the way,
on that day.
Nancy Pelosi. I tell you that? Listen, Nancy Pelosi was in charge of security. She turned down 10,000 soldiers. If she didn't turn down the soldiers, you wouldn't have had January 6th.
Did you call military or law enforcement?
What?
Did you call military or law enforcement at the moment the Capitol was under attack?
I'm not going to tell you anything. Let me put it this way. I behaved so well. I did such a good job.
Congressman, you were on the January 6th committee. What do you make of Trump blaming former Speaker Nancy Pelosi for the insurrection at the Capitol? Your thoughts?
Well, I thought that was one of the most telling exchanges of the interview, because he won't say who he called, because he called no one to put an end to this. That's the painful reality of it. And he sat there for hours watching the Capitol be attacked. He sat there in the comfort and security of the White House dining room and watched that mayhem unfold. People came in to urge him to do something, to say something, and he rebuffed them. No wonder he doesn't want to answer the question. But the proof speaks louder than his lack of words. And for him to try to blame Nancy Pelosi, blame someone who was the target of that mob violence, is also typical of Trump. He does nothing but project onto others his own lack of action, lack of morality. But it doesn't fool anyone. And I think the dereliction of duty by Donald Trump during those hours is an indictment itself of the former president.
I think it's interesting that Trump would not answer the question, did you call anybody? Did you call law enforcement? Why? And his answer is, why would I answer that? Why wouldn't you? If you did something about it, if you were taking affirmative action, I would think you'd want to set the record straight. But that's just me. 570-743-9565. Bill from Bloomsburg, you want to weigh in?
Yeah, good morning, Your Honor. Yeah, the Trumpster did. You have to understand, the Speaker of the House is the ultimate authority over the Capitol building. You understand that part? Like, they are the overseers and for everything. There's the Capitol police chief, but the police chief answers to Pelosi. Do you understand that?
Well, Donald, I think Trump,
there was a meeting where Donald Trump brought up and offered 10,000 National Guards, and she didn't take them. That all come out, but this is how it happened.
How? Go over that again.
Do you understand?
You're saying
that the Speaker of the House is in charge of the Capitol building,
but not entirely. Not in this case. Once,
yes, they are.
Now, just a second.
That's like saying the president's in charge of Pennsylvania. There's a governor. It's the same thing. The governor's in charge of Pennsylvania. The Speaker of the House was in charge of that building,
but she cannot
and
call up.
Something would happen in Pennsylvania,
Bill,
and you say,
Bill,
go ahead,
the Speaker of the House cannot call out the National Guard. She can't do it.
He offered them, and she didn't take it.
All right, so let's say
she didn't allow overtime. She didn't even hire overtime.
Let's say that it was a peaceful demonstration. Nothing bad happened. Would you like the photographs of military people surrounding our Capitol trying to keep honest, decent citizens out of it? No, you wouldn't like that. But it turned into be a riot. And they
just played a clip from Adam Schifferbrains. No, I didn't say the bad word.
I know you didn't, or I would have beeped you.
He dreamt up this hearsay impeachment, right, over Ukraine, and he was the main force behind that. The guy is corrupt. They're all corrupt. And she didn't even hire overtime. She turned down the tent. There was a meeting 4 days prior, and where Trump brought up, he offered the National Guard 4 days prior.
Well,
that's
let's say
in a meeting. That's it's all going to come out.
Okay. Well, let's say you're right. Let's say you're absolutely 100% correct. If that's the case, and Donald Trump saw this going down, saw the bad things happening, why didn't he take additional action? It's easy to blame it on Nancy Pelosi, but he was sitting in the White House. He knew what was going on. He could have called out the National Guard himself at that point. He could have done something.
They never would have been able to assemble in that proper time. It's all going to come out. The CIA, the FBI, they had people in there. Listen, you had police officers on video. Why do you think this whole January 6th, right? Why is Tucker Carlson gone? Why is he off the air? Because he was given all the video footage. He is no longer on the air. The guy had the number one program. The bought and paid for politicians got rid of Tucker Carlson. He has all them videos. Why'd they get rid of Tucker Carlson? See how this all plays out.
Well, I don't think they got rid of Tucker Carlson because of what he did on that day. And he still has a platform.
He got all the videos.
All right, but no one shut him up. He's still out there. He's still speaking. He's still making a living.
He's under contract. He's limited to what he could do.
Right.
He's still on their payroll. He's still on their payroll for a couple of years.
Okay. Well, I mean, that doesn't mean he can't express himself. He had an interview with, it was President Trump on his X or whatever it was, whatever Twitter used to be. So no one's shutting him up. He's speaking. Don't you agree?
Listen, you don't believe that it was a sham. The January 6th is a sham. And you have to understand. The coup is there. I mean, I don't even know where to start. There's so much to talk about.
Well, I realize you feel very strongly about that, and I understand where part of what you're saying is coming from. But, you know, the bottom line to me is that January 6th didn't have to happen, and that there may be blame to go around. Nancy Pelosi may have turned down Donald Trump, although she denies it. But she may have done that. But Donald Trump could have done something while it was going on, and he didn't. And now he won't even tell when he's asked a direct question about it, where he could have set the record straight, talked about all he did to stop this bad thing from happening. He doesn't want to answer the question.
It'll come out. I mean, if you can't see that this man is corrupt,
Which man?
This Biden guy.
Well, yeah, I agree with you there. I think Joe Biden's corrupt. I believe he is. I believe the Biden crime family should be investigated. But that doesn't exonerate Republicans from doing bad stuff.
Yeah, the Trumpster did all the moves that he had to do. You know, it was offered. It was in a closed-door meeting with all the big shots. And it's Nancy Pelosi. You don't believe that there was video of the policeman. Who told the policeman? They were the ones, the guards, were waving the people in.
Some were,
telling them to come in.
Yeah,
you understand that?
I do understand, but not all of them. They weren't waving the men down there where they were beating them over the heads with flagpoles. They weren't waving them in there. There they were breaking in. They broke windows. They broke down doors.
What happened to all the Antifa? And the BLM, is the most corrupt thing, and the Antifa, like who was all behind that?
Well,
where's all the stuff that they burnt? I don't know how many people they killed. They actually killed people.
And riots.
All them riots destroying cities.
Yeah, I agree. That was bad.
All right.
Listen, Bill, we have to move on.
Here's my last word.
Okay.
Here's my last word. The Democratic Party, right? Who brought about slavery, right? Who brought about open borders? Who brought about, I don't know, lockdown? You could go on forever and ever. The Democratic Party is only for the Democratic Party, and they don't care how they take over this country.
Bill, we got to move on.
Power.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your call, as always. Thank you, Bill. 570-743-9565. Eric, you want a minute? You've got one on another topic now, I gather.
I can't sit still and listen to these guys throw out facts, which are not facts, and try to say that this whole thing on January 6th was a result of the Democrats. Go to factcheck.org to get the facts. There's no indication that the president did anything to activate the National Guard. In fact, it was, citing unnamed defense officials, it was the Vice President Mike Pence, not Trump, who approved the deployment of the D.C. National Guard that afternoon. Even after that, the reason that the president cannot say what he did, because he did nothing. He sat there and he hoped that this would overturn the election. He hoped that this violence would keep him in power. It was one of the worst days in recent American history. And American voters need to look at that. They want to put that man back in office one more time.
Okay, fair enough, Eric.
You got your minute. Thank you.
All right, Joe from Sunbury, you're on the mark. Good morning, sir.
All right, good morning. You were talking to Bill, and you gave him a scenario about you wouldn't want to see the National Guard at a peaceful protest keeping Americans from whatever. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Well, you didn't let him answer. You said no, you wouldn't. So I did.
I'm sorry about that. I don't know whether you would have answered.
Anyhow, I understand what you're doing is like, of course, no one's going to admit now in hindsight, if it was peaceful. But how would have you known like 2 weeks ahead of time if it was peaceful? Plus, Donald Trump probably had, but he had more information, I would say, from the FBI and such organizations about how there was this undertow of the Oath Keepers or whoever was going to be there to start trouble, right?
Okay.
Do you believe that? Not all that was public, what's going around. It wasn't all public, but they did know that there were a couple groups that were going to be and have been known as troublemakers and right wing, right? You knew that,
were
in the crowd.
Let's say you're right. Let's say that President Trump was aware that this could happen. Then why didn't he call off?
And Nancy Pelosi knew also.
All right, why didn't he call off the rally? Why didn't he say, as much as I'd like to send you down there? No, seriously, if he knew there was going to be violence, why would he?
That's a stretch. I didn't expect that. That's really going a long way to stop a peaceful protest.
Now, if he had said,
want the President of the United States to stop willingly, and I wouldn't say that he knew it was going to turn into that. Do you think he knew that?
I think he suspected it. Otherwise, why would he have offered the National Guard?
Right, but to go that far. Right, so I don't think he knew it would go that far, but I think that all of them down there knew. And Donald Trump offered it out, just like Bill was saying, and Nancy Pelosi had her part in it that she didn't do, and Donald Trump, and if you want to think that in all that chaos of the day, which the riot only lasted 4 to 6 hours, you think you could have mobilized 10,000 troops to get to the Capitol, and then when the people were already in there, what were they going to do?
Well, how many would have been necessary? How many would have been?
Take them out? It doesn't make any sense. Go ahead.
How many would have been necessary, Joe, to stop it?
Well,
it wouldn't have been 10,000. 10,000 would be an overreach.
You're asking a question that, generals and they all have to have this. I'm not in the military, and they have these formulas that they put together. If there's 100,000 people, we're going to need. Okay, so no, I don't know how many they would have needed, but let's just go what was offered and say that, that would have been sufficient. If you would have had 10,000 people surrounding the Capitol that day, I don't think it would have been physically possible for the few people that were causing the trouble and breaking the windows and that. I don't think they could have got that far. Do you? I mean, does it make sense that you have National Guard there with a little more training than security police?
Well, sure. I think people standing there would have certainly put a chilling effect on anybody who was going to attempt violence. Right. I agree with you on that 100%.
Right. Well, that was Donald Trump. Like, a pound of, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of
okay.
Cure.
But if he really believed, let me ask you this, Joe.
I know you have to have your part in taking one side and the other in this show, but you want to wait till there's people filled inside and the senators and representatives are in secure areas, and then you want to bring the National Guard in. That makes no sense. Well, even if you're just discussing things.
But let's put it this way. Donald Trump was the only one who had the power to activate the National Guard. Now, if he believed that this was going to get out of hand and Nancy Pelosi turned him down, he could have activated them on his own and sent them there. He has that power.
Well, then, okay, I'll give, which I don't even know, but I believe you. But let's just say, even I think Pelosi said, as you said, we didn't want the appearance of the National Guard there at the changing of the power, right?
Right. This is not a banana republic.
And she admitted it, and that was kind of your question to Bill. And, of course, you don't want that. You want to show the world that we have a peaceful transition.
Right.
But it wasn't happening because of what was happening with such guys as Ray Epps and the other people that our government put in there to spark the riot anyhow. And then, as I said before, the Democrats are not going to let a crisis go, without the benefit of hanging on to it. And I don't think there's been an event in American history
that the Democrats have used as well as they have used this riot on January 6th. They have used this to the ultimate. They got that panel, and they got their Republicans who were right with Kinzinger and Cheney, and they got them in there, and they asked one-sided questions, and it was so unfair. It was unbelievable. But you have to give the Democrats Party credit. When they go to do evil, they can really do it. They know what they're doing. Nothing fair about that whole thing is just ridiculous. But let me just say quickly,
sure.
I don't think Trump could answer that question that the reporter asked earlier you were talking about, because it's kind of an ongoing investigation, right? I mean, it wouldn't be very smart to, not that Trump is smart in those ways, but it wouldn't be smart to answer what he said that hasn't been out there. If she knew what was said, right, if it already would have came out in the January 6th hearings, we would know it, and she wouldn't have to ask that. So there must be some information that they never got Trump to, you know, ask or for him to answer.
Yeah, but Joe, what he said was, why would I answer that? Well, why wouldn't he answer
that? Why would he at this point when he plans on testifying?
Well, I don't think he's going to testify. I don't think he wants to get anywhere near the stand.
I agree that he might be using that as a smokescreen, but I'm not saying that. But do you see what I mean? I'm saying that he wouldn't say it right now because he's never testified in public before. Why would you do it in an interview with a hostile journalist there?
Well, you've got a point. Hey, listen, Joe, we got to move on. We got to take a break.
Very good. Enough time.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate your calling. Take care. One caller hanging on. Three lines are open. 570-743-9565. We'll be right back. Welcome back to On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. One of our texters says if Trump would have answered what he was doing on January 6th, he would be found guilty, guilty, guilty. Another texter says Schiff is a liar, still waiting on his irrefutable Trump-Russia collusion proof. Dan, you're on the mark this morning. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Joe. Good talking with you. Hey, you know, Mark Levin, he worked under the Reagan administration. He just come out with a book. It's now, I guess, it's available in the bookstores. The Democratic Party Hates America. Imagine that. And, you know, I agree with him. Most of the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, they hate this system. You listen to them talk. They hate that they'd love to have the border open. They love that, to destroy this country. They hate Wall Street. They hate everything about the American system. And it's a sad time. It's no game anymore. It's a real bad situation. And it's only getting worse. And Mark Levin was on Sean Hannity yesterday, 4 to 5, if anybody heard him. And he makes some good points. He don't think that the Republican Party will ever win another big election. And I can't help but agree with him.
Why?
They have that much control over this country.
Who, the Democrats?
Exactly.
I don't buy that. I don't know that I buy that, Dan. I think the Republicans could win the presidency again. I don't think Donald Trump could do it, but I think the Republicans could win it again.
If they would, it wouldn't be a MAGA guy. It would be a go along with the crowd guy like we had for many years, like the Bush dynasty and them kind of, they could win, but no real conservative, they don't want that.
Well,
they
want Bernie Sanders?
He's really not that much different than the rest.
All right, but you don't want somebody from... I don't want anybody from the far left or the far right. My problem with Joe Biden is he's too far left. I mean, he caved into the radical wing of his party. And, you know, and I don't think he's got the strength to stand up to them and tell them this is not what we're going to do.
Yep, he never really been strong on... Yeah, they call him middle of the road, but as far as I'm concerned, he's been a progressive, and he just lets the handlers control him. It's really the third term of Obama. This is what Obama really wanted, a radicalized America. And he's got it.
What benefit would that be, Dan? Why would a radicalized America be to anybody's benefit? What would they gain from it?
Control, control, control.
Over what?
It's not about freedom. They want to control this country. And it all fits in with the New World Order. It's all gone together. I have a book laying right in front of me that tells what's going to happen, and it's the book's never wrong.
Okay, then why don't you just accept the fact that that's going to happen? You're obviously trying to change it, and when you're saying it can't be changed.
Right. Well, we're not going to sit by and take it sitting down. When something's wrong, it's wrong, and you got to call it out. Even if it is in the cards to happen, it's still wrong. But the wrong is winning out. As I said many a time on this program, voting for Biden was evil. Voting for Trump was good. And I don't have to step back and apologize because look what happened. We're turning completely evil under this administration. What good has come out of this group that's in there? Can you name one thing?
Nope.
That's really sad, Joe, and it's a serious condition, and I can't help but agree with Mark Levin, truly genius on the Constitution. And he said, we're already in one rule government, one party rules, and they're going to keep it that way.
Well, let's hope you're wrong, Dan.
Yeah, but I can't see us changing at all. The way it's gone, look what they just talking about January 6th. Look how they overdone that. They're using that for all they can get out of it to make the Trump people look bad, and a lot of them weren't even Trump people.
Dan,
they were instigators in there.
Dan, we got to take a break. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate your comments. As always, sir, always fun to talk to you. Shirley, hang on. We got to take a quick break, and then we'll get to you on the Mark. Okay, welcome back to On the Mark. Shirley, you are on the mark from Sunbury. Good morning.
Yes, I know I don't have much time to talk to you.
Well, you got time. You got time. Go ahead.
Okay. I've been listening to your program all morning. I just cannot believe what the Republicans are saying about us Democrats. And that book that man has brought out, saying that the Democrats hate America, that is so untrue. I'm a Democrat, and I love America. I love America. That is my country. And for somebody to say that just because I'm a Democrat, I hate America? What craziness is that? There's only one thing that's wrong in this country. It's when Donald Trump came on the scene. Our country was great before he came on the scene. He says he wants to make it great. No, it was great before he came on the scene. He's the one that's making it not great. And I just wish people would start seeing that. I don't understand what people are just loving that man. It's just unbelievable. Anyhow, I just got so upset when they said Democrats hate America. I love my America, and I have a lot of Democratic friends. I have a lot of Republican friends, and all of us love America. So that's just my statement. It just got me so upset when they say a Democrat hates America. That is so untrue.
I agree with you. I know many Democrats. I have many Democratic friends, and I know they love this country. But I think Mark Levin's point was that the national Democrats, not the people that you meet on the street, but the people who are controlling the Democratic Party, are applying or are pursuing an agenda that they believe is disrespectful, maybe even hateful of American values, traditional American values. Now, that's an argument we can have. You know, I don't know that I buy it. Mark Levin is not somebody I consider to be a mainstream thinker, but I know a lot of people believe in him and listen to him and hear what he has to say and think it's the gospel truth.
Well, I'm sorry. I just had to call and say that I am a Democrat, and I'm proud to say I'm a Democrat. I'm 91 years old, and I love my country. And don't anybody ever tell me that I don't.
Okay.
That's all I want to say.
God bless you. Thank you for calling. Appreciate your call, Shirley. Call again. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, that's about all the time we have for calls today. We have a couple of emails. One from Tom says, are Dan and Bill brothers? I don't believe Tom. I don't believe they're brothers. Another email says, from EB said, you had a response to my email that was filled with false, easily disproven claims about the 2020 election, January 6th, and the COVID vaccine. All of those lies were left uncommented upon. When I say something, it's picked apart endlessly. But when a conservative wingnut writes in with total lies, they get a pass. What's up with that? Well, it's hard to argue with a letter. If you called in, EB, I would debate with you. And if our other reader, Doug, called in, I would debate with him, too. Hey, thanks for being with us today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motor Company. We'll be back tomorrow with more of On the Mark on WKOK Sunbury.